Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And you're not. And I meant to go see this. I'm fixing to go see this. I have not yet seen the final How to Train Your Dragon. Or at least if you follow the books, it's the final one.
Well, I would argue, and I will say that this film did a pretty good job of not necessarily tying up everything definitively, but it can act as a bookend to the series if it's so decided. But I'll guarantee you, like, this thing crosses like $2 billion.
Oh, they'll make more.
DreamWorks
sure.
will just be like, well, so there was another hidden world, and they've got to find that, and something about a dragon.
Mm. So, where are we at? Because I have seen all of them, and I know I'm getting confused with my stories because I've seen the, I guess it's Netflix has the cartoon of it.
I have not watched the cartoon. Yes. You are correct. There is an animated
series. I have seen
series.
That, and it's actually pretty good.
The second film in particular was, like, honestly, as far as animated, like, series go, this is a pretty consistent, I'm aware of the films. Like, I haven't watched the show. Like, I was, you know.
It's like the film, but shorter.
I was like, you know, in my mid-30s when that happened. So I didn't get into that.
It,
like I did say, the real Ghostbusters when I was 7.
All right.
Though I'd argue I'd still be in. I'm still
yeah,
into
you're,
that
you're
show.
Still into
it's
that.
Not because I was 7.
So where are we at? When in the second one, he met his mother.
Correct.
And there were other dragons unbeknownst to him, and she left. Hashtag dragons. I don't recall why she left. And then maybe she died, or did his father die?
It was his father.
His father
passed.
Died.
The one that Gerard Butler is, or was the, he shows up in.
So Obi-Wan.
Flashbacks in this one. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not, he's not speaking to the character. Then it's just like things that he said, like, in the past
in
to
the
his
cartoon,
son.
His father is alive and well.
Sure. Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm not sure precisely when the cartoon takes. If it takes place between the first and second film, he should still be alive. If it's between,
I believe it does.
Okay.
But I don't. I'm not that intimate with the works. I've just seen it.
Well, more or less, what had happened when the second one was released, and I don't remember the specifics of the weekend, like. Basically, the second one did not do the business that DreamWorks Animation was anticipating. Because
really?
This is a, I want to say the second one came out, and I want to believe 2014. So that's 5 years since the second film in this series, which in terms of like animation, like you can do that if you're, you know, Toy Story. Like Toy Story seems to be timeless. And speaking of other consistent like animated trilogies, like.
Mm-hmm.
Name me another one that you would say is as consistent as those two. Like, Shrek, I didn't think even warranted its third film. Monsters University, I thought was pretty pale compared to Monsters, Inc. We all know how you feel about Cars 2 and 3. I'm just saying, like, is there another animated series that has held up as well as How to Train Your Dragon has, save Toy Story. I will grant that argument there.
Well, I can tell you this, because we're recording this opening box office weekend for the movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
this has been the biggest opening compared to the other two. So this opened at around $55 million. The other two were in the 40s. Not bad. But opening weekend's a big, big deal.
So either people really want to see, like, the conclusion to this story, or if it, like I said, if it does big enough business, I would absolutely go see another one of these. Like, despite my probably out of the demographic age, like, there's a lot of animated movies, and you know what I'm talking about. Like, that, I mean, they're just
painful. They're,
oh, I mean, it's like trying to wade through a swamp. Like, I mean, it just, oh, it's awful. Like, and you just, there's some of them you just cringe at the thought of doing it, but like the How to Train Your Dragon, they're clever.
Yeah, I have no problem with it.
And like I can say that without ruining anything about this movie, this one is equally clever as the first. If you enjoyed the first two, the quality has not dipped in the 5 years since we saw the last installment.
Now here's what I get from the trailer. So it's kind of like a Wall-E thing, where now there's an all-white, shiny, bright girl version.
That's not inaccurate. That's reasonably close.
And she lives in a place unfamiliar to Wall-E / Toothless.
Okay, yeah, yeah, you're pretty close there.
And I'm just going to say, if you love something, set it free.
That's, yeah, there's.
Okay.
You're getting a lot of the highlights of the.
That's what I got out of my 30-second investment in this film.
It's brisk, too. It's an hour and 45 minutes, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's something I think you and I have also, like, discussed before. If a two-hour film, like, if you start, like, looking at your watch or something, like, the filmmakers have done something incorrect. Like, mm-hmm. you need to leave a movie, like, anticipating it, or, like, almost surprised, like, look at your watch and be like, oh, wow, it's already been? Like, this film, on top of the fact that it's an hour 45, like, it moves. Good. Like, as it was anyway. Like, I really had questioned whether or not the film was even an hour and 45 minutes. I was like, is this thing an hour? I looked down at my watch, the calculation. It, like I said, as a parent, this is the kind of movie you want your kids to want to go see.
So what we have here is an introduction of a new dragon and the big bad in
Toothless,
this.
Toothless had thought to be the
only one.
The only one, or the last of his kind. Apparently, there is another Night
Lost?
Fury.
Is there a Lost World, maybe?
There, well,
or a hidden one.
It's a hidden world.
But
it's not the
lost
world. No, Jeff Goldblum is not. He's not there. No.
You could say that the hidden world was lost to the other people.
You could make that argument.
All right. Yeah. So there's a hidden world of other Night Furies.
He's the second to last one.
Okay.
It's almost like the Highlander conundrum. Like,
I see.
There can be only one. Well, but there's like 17 Highlander movies and a TV show. There is obviously more than one. Like,
loopholes.
Let's say there's several. Like,
loopholes.
Several.
So, she seems very cute and shimmery almost.
They nickname her the Light Fury in this one due to, like, Toothless is a Night Fury. Even the characters within the movie even acknowledge, like, they're trying to come up with a title. Like, I think Hiccup, he's like, what about Bright Fury? And she's like, how about Light Fury? And he's like, yeah, that's better. We're going to go with that. Yeah. Mm.
What I like about this movie and all of these, in case you didn't realize it, you have and I'm going to air quote, handicapped dragon and a handicapped dragon rider, but that's not what it's about.
No, I think it does a good job of like drawing parallels or like even enabling people without, it's not How to Train Your Handicapped Dragon.
Yes.
Like that's, the characters just happen to be that, which I mean, honestly,
as a parent,
is the kind of the best way that you can do it. Like if you hit somebody over the head with something, like I think it loses a lot of its metaphor or even its impact. Like this film just kind of like it drops it in there. Like if you're going to watch a film about like empowering females, like you don't want to just have somebody roll up a newspaper and pop your head with that, like every 4 minutes about it. It's better if it's organic and it just kind of plays into it. And maybe you don't even realize it until after you've already watched it. That's the type of, like, you're not constantly reminded that Hiccup and Toothless have a disability of sorts.
Right.
But once you sit there and start discussing it or thinking about it, like you can start seeing the way that like the film portrays those characters. They're no different than it. And it like I said, in this case, you almost don't think about it, especially during the course of the film.
And I believe that Adam and I are on the same page here. We're not the ones jumping up and down saying every movie we show our kids has to teach them a lesson. No, we like stuff that blows up. You know,
listen, like I love cheeseburgers as much as the next guy, but like if I accidentally like eat like a thing of steamed broccoli, like while I'm chowing down on that delicious greasy cheeseburger, like
so
I'm saying, like it's okay if there's a little nutritional value,
right,
like in your entertainment. It doesn't always have to be like that. Like the Rocks movie, the Fighting With Your Family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go ahead and put it out there. I don't know that there's going to be a lot of like, let's say, empowering of like the handicapped, or possibly showing that women are equal I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of messages in that movie. Will Dwayne Johnson be there? Yes. Will he lay the smacketh down?
Yes.
Probably. Probably.
He'll raise the people's eyebrows.
That's what I'm saying. That will happen. Will it make it a lesser film? Will it make it less enjoyable film? Probably not.
But it's just a little added something-something that I like about these that I forget about it, as you should. Just like in Isn't It Romantic? It's nice to see someone who is the romantic lead who is not a size zero, which I still can't believe is a size, but it is.
On top of the fact that, like, diversity is kind of a cool thing in and of itself, like, the fact of always seeing the same physical type of person, the same, like, ethnicity, the same, like, eventually you're not going to get any juice out of that lemon. Mm-hmm. Like, the fun thing about seeing other people attacking the same material, like, from a different perspective, is that you get something new and interesting.
Mm-hmm. And Disney is finally admitting that they were ahead of the curve, and they actually already had their first trans character, which would be Peter Pan. I think that's obvious.
Are they? They're coming out and saying that now?
Okay, no, I couldn't get through.
Okay,
made that up.
I was like, why have I not seen that?
Totally made that up. But they could ride that train easily.
Well, I mean, Peter Pan was traditionally played by a...
It's confusing.
A female.
So they could choose
argue
to walk
that if they wanted to.
Yeah. So if that happens, I said it first.
You heard it here first. Something that did strike me while I was watching this, and like Disney, I think, is doing this four times this year. Dumbo, Aladdin, Lion King, and I think I'm missing one. They're doing the live action from animation, like, translation. I really think there's a fourth one.
Are you suggesting they do a live action How to Train Your Dragon with real dragons?
I'm saying, like, is it exclusive? Disney is making some ridiculous bank off of these movies.
Disney, I'm unfamiliar with that name.
They own literally everything. 70% of your household is probably Disney.
Yeah.
And you don't even know it. Or sometimes you do. Mm-hmm. 'Cause they're good at putting their brand on things.
Mm-hmm.
Like a cattle company. Just there it is.
You are listening to Parental Guidance Suggested, movie reviews from Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens from high atop the Hinson Oakley Podcast Center.
So I'm thinking DreamWorks outside of Disney probably has the largest library of animated theatrical films.
Sure.
I'm thinking that's not conclusive, but they've been doing this since at least like 2000, like around like 98. Why can't they do some of their movies? And I'm not saying like all of them automatically translate in the same way that like all of Disney, like you're not going to see a Black Cauldron live action. Mm-hmm. You're just not. And I don't think any of us are, you know, knocking over to see, like, say, Fun and Fancy Free. Like, I don't think Disney's like, we've got to get that to market right now. Strike it while the iron's hot.
Now, the fact that Dumbo is coming out, I felt this but didn't say it. My children said it. And if you've never seen the Dumbo from way back when, 40s maybe?
Are we talking about the crows?
No.
Okay. All right. I was like,
no.
I thought you were talking about like,
no.
Disney gets into a weird position there because like some of their movies are from like the 40s, 50s, and like there were, let's say, socially held norms that would appear in their films.
That are no longer held norms.
Socially acceptable.
Yes. Okay.
That's not what I was going to say.
Okay. I was going to say, if you've seen it, I mean, it's a beautiful movie. And it's so hard to watch because Dumbo makes the girls and I have feelings, and we would rather not. So I didn't say anything about the Dumbo trailer, and they've both seen the trailer, and they said, nope, not gonna see it. Don't want to has feeling. So
I mean, now, okay, you're gonna, Lion King will also be brought.
Yes, but we just like elephants better.
I'm just like, you're telling me, like, the first time they watched The Lion King.
Oh, I'm sure.
And Mufasa was caught, like, in the wildebeest. You're telling me that does not play on your heartstrings.
But, baby mine, it's more, because the.
I'm not saying. Listen, it's not a competition. I'm just saying.
There was more of a reaction to Dumbo.
What makes you cry more? That's not the game show that we're playing.
As I don't recall the specific moment, but I do recall when we suckered them into E.T. and didn't tell them that E.T. wasn't really dead. Spoiler.
Kind of like Spielberg did with Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, and we just kind of let it go.
Like, evidently, within the context of that, like, Spielberg did not tell her that was coming, and I guess, like, she was at such a young age, she may have believed E.T. was real, and, like, Spielberg apparently just, like, pulled on that string. And now, granted, at one point it was the highest grossing movie of all made, so I'm not saying he was wrong, but maybe there was a better way to do that without psychologically scarring the child.
Oh, she's fine.
She's a bear.
Yeah, she's fine.
They don't have any kind of trouble.
Yeah, that. So, I'm just saying there may be a bit of a backlash because it's Disney. I don't even know what the words I'm saying anymore. They make no sense. All I know is many feelings.
I wonder if Danny DeVito's tired of getting a phone call from Tim Burton and having to put on a top hat. Like, he's just like, what's up, Tim? We hadn't talked since Batman Returns. What's going on? He's like, I need you to put on a tuxedo and a top hat. And he's like, is that how they're going with the new Batman? And he's like, oh, no, we're doing Dumbo. And he's like, whatever. Yeah, I guess.
But the crows, man, racist. Anyway.
I'm really hoping they just skip that. Like,
or they could approach it like George Lucas did in his fine prequels and just choose a different race to be racist about.
I don't.
Is that a thing?
I don't. When people highlight the positives about the prequels, and there's not a lot, I don't think that's one of the things. Like, Ewan McGregor being the only actor that seems to be having any fun. That's highlight. Liam Neeson in Episode 1. Like, these are things that people highlight about the exceptional choreography and the lightsaber battles. Uh-huh. That point, I don't think makes it into a lot of the pros versus cons.
It is hilariously racist.
Oh, wow. And that's the thing about it. Like, technically, those are independent films because he funded them himself. So, like, there wasn't a board meeting to be like, George, you have to take this out. Like, literally, somebody at Lucasfilm was probably like, George, maybe we should take that. And he's like, no, I'm not doing that. And they're like, oh, well, all right. Well, it's your money.
I would like to interject. Racism isn't hilarious, but in this movie, it's so obvious. That is what makes it hilarious.
And you'd really assume that somebody would be less oblivious.
Yes. Yes. That's the, that's what
that's
I'm trying
the
to
part
say.
That's funny.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Racism bad.
How to Train Your Dragon.
A good movie.
Live action, as I was stating. I'm just putting it out there.
Where is it with the racism?
Where do they stand on racism? I mean, they think it's bad.
Okay.
How do you train your dragon?
All right, just checking.
They think it's very bad.
All right. Well, as well they should. Okay.
I'm just saying, there's a little show out there called Game of Thrones. People will buy into live action dragons I'm not saying HBO needs to handle the adaptation so that it's R-rated. Like, I'm just saying there may be some money in doing live action DreamWorks movies as well.
It's been so long since I've seen Game of Thrones. I'm assuming the dragons are like full grown now.
They're big. They're huge. They are straight. I'm going to try not to go off on too hard of a tangent, but I'm just going to put it out there because The Walking Dead, at least 4 years ago, was the highest rated show on cable. There's a fight between essentially the zombies in Westeros and the dragons. Like,
it's been a while because last time I saw it, there were no zombies.
The kids had asked about it. And I'm like,
yeah, I know.
No.
You told me.
It's we can't do that.
Except
but somehow or another,
scene.
They got me to. Basically, I then accidentally divulged that there was a dragons versus zombie fight. And I'm like, oh dear, I have undermined the entirety of my. That's even cool. And I know they can't.
Yeah. The girls want to see it because, of Aquaman. And I'm saying, no.
They don't.
No.
Without going into too great of detail, they don't need to see what Aquaman's doing.
No.
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 No. No.
So, anyway, How to Train Your Dragon, Hidden World. Yes.
It's
good.
It's pretty spectacular, honestly.
All right.
Like, I would not. It is a film that inevitably, if the kids ask, like, if we can purchase it or, you know, have it in our library, like, it's one that I will not mind revisiting. Mm-hmm. If you were a parent and you got to go see something, like, I'd honestly even argue it's better than the second Lego movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a fun animated movie. And as a parent, like, you don't always get that.
All right. Well, I look forward to seeing it because I like Toothless, I gotta say. And people without teeth.
The dragon,
I'm also
the
fond
dragon
of.
And people that are.
Yeah, toothless. I'm fond of both of them.
Well, I have a lot of relatives.
Yeah,
you know, too. From the Southeast.
Anyway, so I'm putting it out there. And that's it. I know you're shocked. The podcast is now over. But
we did do four last week. So,
I know.
Like, if you didn't feel like this was a full meal, like, just download that MP3 right there.
That won't leave you anytime soon. So thank you for listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.